Atlanta, Georgia. And it's day two of our journey from Atlanta to the Atlantic on the water. And it was a day. We went over 10 miles and doubled our speed from yesterday's just really very big draggy day that we had in the uppermost portions of the watershed. And had a really incredibly beautiful journey through this portion of the South River with a lot of really great rapids and chance encounters with people when we had to do a huge portage, you know, up through the woods and onto a trail. You know, and just sort of keeping with yesterday's theme about the amazing welcome that we had, and for the send off that we had yesterday. We also had a really great few encounters with people, starting when we were leaving Sugar Creek Golf Course, and the folks who worked there were really quite touched and taken with the whole project. Even Kim standing on the bottom and like really waiting for us to take a really long time to get in the boat and make her way out. And throughout, you know, the 15-20 minutes that we were doing that, she
it ended up being like half an hour, 45 minutes,
and she just went through this kind of transformation. And I don't like the word transformation, because I'm sure it was already in her, but like there was this dawning understanding of how much she wanted to connect with the water that was in her community. And she was, you know, drawn in and really felt pulled by the water. And it was really, really beautiful to have that time to witness that kind of, I guess, dawning moment for her as well. And then Porterhouse, who was the guy who dropped me off in the golf cart, he was telling me, and I won't be as eloquent as him, but he gave me the advice that, you know, the first thing you need to pack with you every day is patience, and you take that with you, and then the whole day will be meandering joy. And so that's kind of what we set off on our river trip with, is that sense of packing patience with you, and the day being able to manifest meandering joy. And it, and you know, in large part, it did. Another thing that sticks with me is that we were passing through a place, and there was a lot of erosion, and Suzanne was, and the erosion came from people removing greenery from the river's edge so that they could get a better view of the river itself. But what that was causing was that their yards were being eroded and collapsing into the water. And she was pointing all of this out to us and like talking, and we were talking through it, and she just said, you know, the river will always win. And, you know, it's, you know, not from a place of them not loving the river, and it seemed more like they were with the landscaping choices that they'd made, that they were really craving a closer view, at least, if not closer connection with the river. But I think, you know, understanding how much we have to respect the river and its own needs is something that that sort of reflection really brought into, and that might be counter to what we want as well, at times, and sort of giving into that, is something that brought home to me. I think, it was a big exertion day, and it felt really good. It felt like, I'd learned a lot about paddling, learned a lot about moving on the water, and although my whole body is incredibly sore, and I will sleep very well in approximately 10 minutes, I felt like I could lean into to listening to the water, and to trying to the turning on the water mind of like how to go with what, where the water was telling me to go, rather than to kind of try to override it with my human brain, which is what I felt like I was definitely witnessing myself do yesterday. And so, yeah, it was a day of change for me. It felt good. I'm tired, but it felt good. It also felt good to finish the end of it, the end of Panola Shoals, by walking down rather than trying to go over this massive rock slide. And I feel absolutely no shame of that. And I'm happy to be here after the rain has stopped and listening to the waters flow over that huge rock slide. I'm looking forward to tomorrow. Sarah?
Yeah. That's such a cute photo on your phone. It's very bright though. The moment with Suzanne, that was interesting. It felt, what were we calling it? Like buffer police or something. We were like, we should go knock on everyone's doors and just help them understand that by taking away the vegetation by the river's edge, they're actually like, not only are they hurting the river, but they're hurting themselves and their investment. And it's just like, it's so logical. And it's just how do we help people have a little, they just need a little, someone to tell them that. And everyone's probably afraid to tell them that, but because they already did it. But like, how can that just be something that's known in the world? It's a question that came up for me. And like, how can we with our work, you know, make that a little, or ask those questions and make that clear? What does the river want? What does it need? Yeah, I think my big takeaways from today, day two, are about figuring out what are the daily practices that need to happen, both in terms of, we've spent so much time preparing for this journey and preparing in terms of logistics, and like, ultimately it is an artwork. So it is an artwork, but it's also this like lived experience. And so how do we just make sure that we're doing, or how do I make sure that I'm doing the things that, you know, make space for the things that we need to do to make sure that the artwork is, as we conceived of it, able to live, you know. So part of doing these radio broadcasts is actually that, which is great. And I think there's a lot more. I started thinking about body practices in a deeper way, which I'll get into later. But today was also the day of two moments of falling, failing, but also being okay. There was this one section where I was like, sure, I can do this, no problem. And then it was like, I literally was like hanging on the precipice of this log, and I was like, there is a 3 or 4 foot drop, and if I go over this log, I don't know what will happen. And I this was maybe the first time I've been actually really scared, and because, and you know, I'm not so much afraid for myself, but I'm afraid because I'm carrying all the live stream equipment, and I feel like if the live stream equipment gets soaked when it's not locked up in a dry bag, we're screwed. And so, yeah, it's like an interesting thing of feeling protective of that and feeling maybe more cautious than I normally would be. I was literally hanging on the precipice, and then we were, luckily I managed to like get out. I stepped out of the boat at that point, balancing very carefully, and then we backed up, and then we had to go through this like rapidy section, and we put the equipment in the dry bag, and that did keep it safe, which was good because I then got stuck between two rocks and lots of water entered my boat, and
my
boat got a little crushed, and you know,
but it popped back. Yay, Oru
kayak. Yes, these foldable kayaks, we got them. They were donated to us. We're so grateful, Oru Kayak. They made it possible to portage around all these things. Also meeting folks. Anyway, that was my first bail. Yeah, that was my first bail. And then the second bail was just right at the end of the day. I just like slipped on some rocks and took a really, I'm going to have some really big bruises. on my elbow and my knee. They're coming. I can feel them. Get ready. so that was interesting. And then I think it is these, like, the people that are surprising that show up, the spontaneous people, Riley and what was her?
Joshua.
Yeah.
And Olujimi.
And Olujimi, who showed up while we were portaging around this.
Olujimi is
a long section which we knew, a trash tap that we knew we were gonna have to portage around, and luckily we just scouted the section. But as we were sitting there hanging out, we were actually eating lunch on the path, and these were the people who walked by, and they all were like, what are you doing with those kayaks and that canoe? And and it ended up being, we just had some really lovely conversations and lovely interactions. And then the last thing that happened where somebody showed up was that we were sitting, we were like going down the kayaks, and then Suzanne's like, there's a person on the shore. And this was like in a highly vegetation area. We really didn't see anyone. You don't see anyone when you're going through the shore or going through the river, even though you're like in the middle of a city, you don't see people. And then all of a sudden she's like, there's a man on the shore. And she's like, oh, that man is my husband. And and it was Tom showed up and was just there ready to help, which was amazing. And these two, Suzanne and Tom, are the best guides ever, so we are so grateful for them. I think that's it. I learned lots from the river today that stuck with me, even though I didn't hear it directly from the source. But the pack patience and meandering joy is a good motto for us as we move forward. So
I actually did an audio recording of him saying it, so I should.
Oh, you did? Yeah. Oh, well, then we should definitely listen
to
that.
Except I got him to repeat it, so it wasn't quite as good as when he said it the first time. Yeah. I got it.
All right, audio recording coming at ya. Pack patience and meandering joy.
Yeah.
Signing off, day two. Thank you very much. How do I stop this?
Stop broadcast.
I don't know, but your phone's blocked.
It's 1-2-1-2-1-2 for everybody who wants to know. And we're at 14 minutes and 11 seconds.
That's good.
Good night, day two.
Good night.